agape. Lord, we give thanks that your grace is always sufficient for us. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Now to a time of scripture reading taken from Mark chapter 6, verse 7 to 11. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and give them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to be still before you because you are here. You transcend our humanly voice, that your Holy Spirit speak to our heart, and we're able to recognize your still small voice and turn to you. Help us to go beyond our human. That Lord, you speak now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today the theme for the sermon is sent out with authority. I'm not sure what will you pack when you go for a trip. If let's say going for a trip, other than clothing and a toothbrush, what else will you pack in your luggage? Some of us will bring pillowcases and bedsheet because we don't trust the hotel is hygiene enough. Some of us bring our own pillow because the pillow in the hotel may be too mushy, too firm, too small, and too lumpy. You may not feel good to sleep. Some of us bring our own utensils because you don't trust the utensils outside. It may not be clean enough. Some of us who are addicted to coffee, we bring our own coffee maker. We can't stand a day without coffee, and a particular coffee you need to drink daily. Some of us go to cold weather country, we need to bring our own humidifier because it's too dry. You need your face to be moisturized over the night. And some of us bring our own portable kettle because you heard rumors that in the hotel kettle, they use it to boil, to satisfy their, synthesize their socks. Have you heard that before? You've heard that you start bringing your own kettle. Yeah, it's in the news. They use the hotel kettle to synthesize their socks. That's why people bring their own kettle instead of using the hotel one. Some of us bring our own portable door locks because you don't trust the lock in the hotel, so they can sleep soundly. Some of us bring our own flashlight. Just in case there's a power trip in the hotel, you know where to run to with the flashlight. So what do you bring in your trip, if you've got a trip? And there are good reasons to pack this thing in our luggage, because they make you feel safe, they make you feel prepared, and most importantly, they make us feel we are in control. So over here in Mark chapter 6, Jesus sent out the 12 disciples. He tell them, go out, take nothing, no bread, no bag, no money, no extra clothing, just a staff and the sandals, and that's all. So what is the bottom line? Why did Jesus instruct his disciples to take nothing, anything but nothing? I think the whole journey that Jesus wants his disciples to learn is not what they carry. It's not to depend on what they carry, but depend on who sent them. So the big idea of today's sermon is Jesus sent his disciples out not with supplies, but with his authority. So that in a mission or in our ministry, it depends solely on Jesus and not on ourselves. So the first point of today's sermon is authority is given, it's not earned. The verse 7, it said that calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirit. The word highlighted there, authority originates from Jesus. It doesn't come from ourselves or disciples. It is therefore not earned. It is given to us as a gift. It's not depending on your competence, your charisma, or even your seniority. Therefore, it's very unlike the world that you work your way up to the authority, your status. But in the spiritual realm, it's not this way. So that as we serve, we don't have to prove ourselves that we deserve an authority. Authority is given to us because God has entrusted it to you. Therefore, we never own authority, and we are just a steward of it. And this, in a way, keeps us as leader humble, knowing that authority is given to us. It's never about us. So in one way, it dismantles pride that I'm good enough, I deserve this. And the other way, it also dismantles our inferiority. I'm not good enough, I don't deserve it. So authority originates from Jesus. Second point, authority is sustained by relationship. It's not just a one-time transfer. As you look at the verse there, this translation is more literal. I think the Young's literal translation is that Jesus was giving them power. There is an imperfect tense there. It's an ongoing thing. It's a giving them the power. So it's not that Jesus handed the authority once and for all and leave it. So they have to keep having the authority from Jesus as they go. So it tells us about continuous dependence. It requires for the disciples to have authority, they have to remain close with Jesus. They have to walk in obedience. They have to remain close intimacy with Jesus in order for the authority to operate through them. So authority is sustained by relationship. The third point, authority precedes experience. It precedes experience. If you look at the sequence of the verse written there, calling comes first, then they were sent out and given the authority. So what does this tell us? They are sent before they succeed in anything, and they are given the authority before they master anything. I don't think they've ever so-called cast out the spirit before. Probably they've never done that. But Jesus really given them the authority before they're able to master it. So I think in the kingdom of God, authority comes before effectiveness. So the whole competence of ministry is being forged along the way as we serve the Lord. It is not a prerequisite. We form this competence along the way. I think therefore that will tell us that you don't have to be ready in order to pick up a task. And we believe that God entrusted you a certain task. God will empower you. God will enable you, giving you the authority to accomplish the task. So it's never that you'll be ready for it. It's along the way we learn and we're being empowered to do so. So authority precedes experience. The fourth point, authority given for a purpose. Over there, the verse says the purpose of giving them the authority is over impure spirits. Authority of God is always tied with God's mission. So it's not for self-protection, for our ego, or to control people. So in this context, very clear, the authority given to them is for to cast out the impure spirit, to confront the spirit and restore God's creation. I think in general, broad general sense, God gave us authority is to build his kingdom. It's not to abuse it. It's not to defend our ego or for anything. So remember, these 4 points, we are given the authority. We don't own it. We don't earn it. And Jesus entrusted it to us. And we sustain this authority not by our own strength. It's by our relationship with Jesus. When you step into it, we never feel we are ready for it. Because he comes before competency and confidence. And finally, we don't use authority just for ourselves. But authority, the purpose is to serve his mission, to restore, to redeem, and to reconcile in his name. But this divine authority doesn't look the way we hoped for or expected. In fact, when you look at this authority, it's not paired with privilege, but actually with vulnerability. That comes our second point. Authority comes with vulnerability. As you look at the verses there, verse 7 and 8, two keywords being highlighted. One is authority. The other keyword is take nothing. It's hard to imagine you place these two words together because when we always assume authority look impressive, It looks secure and it's always self-sufficient. But actually, when Mark put these verses together, especially these two keyword, authority and take nothing, Jesus sent out his disciples empty-handed. And this don't look impressive at all. And some more, I think it looked more scary. Can you imagine you're being sent out, going for a mission trip with the instruction not to take anything? So the question is, why do you put this authority paired with this vulnerability together? And let's look on the verses later. I think two things you're being vulnerable about. I think first thing is vulnerability to insecurity. As you look at the verse there, instructions, the Greek original word instruction means command. It is an order, a command to obey. And further on, the word no bread, no bank, no money, and not an extortion. It is intensifying the whole vulnerability. It tells you nothing. It's a command to obey. If you want to go, you have to bring nothing. I think the question comes to us. Should we follow these instructions for our mission trip? We got 4 trips this year. 2 to Japan, 2 to Indonesia. I think it's the Japan trip one. I think August, the one is a bit challenging because it's summertime. No shirt, only one shirt, you're going to stink. If we take this as an instruction, as a command, should we follow this? So is it prescriptive or descriptive? Prescriptive, that means, is it a command that we have to keep following? Let's read on another verse from Luke 22, okay? Can we read this together? 1, 2, 3. Same thing, Jesus sent his disciples out again, but this time, this verse happened post-resurrection, after Jesus resurrected. And Mark chapter 6, we read earlier, is before Jesus' death. So actually, in 2 different occasions, in 2 different contexts, so we can rightly say Mark chapter 6 is primarily descriptive to a unique event in a certain stage of the life to prepare the gospel mission. So we need not take this verse, Mark 6, literally to mean that we're not to bring anything in our mission trip. I think the question is, if Jesus has all the authority, and why does he send his disciples out without supplies? Why did Jesus purposely make his disciples so vulnerable in such a trip? And what is Jesus teaching them and also teaching us for our ministry and also for our work? I think over here you want to clarify that Jesus' instruction is not to promote poverty, that we have to go poor, go hungry every time we serve, or even recklessness. We don't plan before we serve. We just go with by faith. And this is not the key thing that Jesus is teaching here. Over here in Mark chapter 6, the key principle Jesus is teaching is about total dependency. Total dependency on God. By stripping away all your material security, clothing, supplies, funds, Jesus forced the disciples into daily reliance on God. They got nothing to rely on. If you got no money, no clothing, no contingency plan, what can you rely on? I know that a teacher just went to Japan. They have to come up with a lot of contingency plan. If they bring students over, what happens if there's earthquake in Japan? What happens if there's a tsunami? What happens if there's a lot of contingency plan when we go for a trip? If there's nothing, you got nothing to plan for, you got no money, nothing, no purse, what else can you rely on? You can only rely on God. So their security was actually not in their backpack, but in the authority of Jesus and those who provide the provision to them when they receive the gospel. And this teach them a lesson or teach them a principle that the power or the success of mission comes from God. It doesn't come from their own preparation or even resource. I think in Singapore, our culture promotes self-reliance. We promote excellence through preparation. I served in a team with American, with a Korean before. countries, each nation have their own uniqueness. Koreans, if you know them well enough, they're very passionate in prayer and they're very loving. Americans, they're very kind and giving. They treat people generously and they give away generously. And Singapore, you know what we are famous for? Among all the missionary that we talk about, Singaporeans, what are we famous for? Huh? Anybody? What are we famous for? Eating. Huh? We are famous for planning. Do you agree? We are very good at planning. I think this is our national strength. Our government has 5-year plans, 10-year plans. Our church also have plans. Nothing wrong with plans. This is our strength. But sometimes, what we are good at can be a barrier for us to trust God. Because we rely on our strength so much that without this thing, I can't move ahead. Isn't it true? So what is over here, Jesus is not negating the need to plan, the need for training. Instead, if you look at Luke chapter 10, Jesus did pair the disciples out and train them, give them the strategy, go there in pairs, look for people of peace, and stay with them. And Jesus strategized with them. I think over here, Mark chapter 6, Jesus is challenging us. Where does your trust rely upon? Is it upon your contingency plan, your pack supply, or is it fully on God's provision and His calling? A story was very well known, I think among us, we are probably aware of him, George Mueller, a 19th century preacher and also a principal or director of an orphanage in England. He was very famous because of his faith in God. And one of the incidents shared that one morning, George Mueller and his orphans, they come for breakfast, but there's no breakfast on the table. No money to buy it. But Mueller gathered the children around the table and they said, let's pray and give thanks for the food, even though there's no food on the table. And they just pray, give thanks. And after they pray, a baker knocked the door. The baker said that last night he didn't sleep well because he felt a tug in his heart to do something for the orphanage. Therefore, he baked a lot of bread and brought the bread in for them. And moment later, another man knocked at the door. It's a milkman. He's supposed to deliver the milk along the way, but the cart broke down just nice in front of the orphanage. You know that milk cannot be stored in open space, it will just spoil. So he just think that since the milk may not arrive in time to be sold off, he intend to give the milk, everything to the orphanage. And over the lifetime, George Mueller housed, fed and educated over 10,000 orphans. And he set up 117 schools. He never took a loan and he never went into debt. He simply just trusts God by faith for his provision, and God always answers his prayer. I think George Mueller understood more than us what Mark 6 really means. Dependence isn't a lack of planning. It is a posture of heart, trusting God that even my backpack is empty. Our faith can be full when God can provide for us. I think today the lesson still applies to us. Jesus is also training us. Will you trust the provision of God or only in what you're good at, what your plan that you can see? I think today for us, the application is not to really literally take this verse and say that now we go mission trip without luggage. And that will save our logistic, I see a lot of headache. Yeah, we just go without luggage. And that's not the application. I think the application for us to think about is sometimes we trust our ability more than the power of God. We need to have this, have that in order for us to move on. We need to have certain tools, we need to have certain training. If not, I can't share the gospel. Friday is our prayer meeting. After the prayer meeting, I took a Grab home with my wife, and behind the back, she sat with the bag because someone gave us a bag of clothing. So I sat in front. So we are talking about certain things. So in our conversation, we are having a conversation. Then the driver interrupted us and started talking to me in English. Yeah. He shared about his marriage. I didn't ask anything about him. He just tell me about his marriage. He tell me that he got divorced. He married. He earned 20,000 a month. That's a lot, 20,000 a month. But he spent all his time in his work. He spent all his time. At the end, the whole relationship, the family broke down. He got divorced. He regretted over it. Now he's in his second marriage. He got another two more children, very young. He shared his story. Keep telling me his story. Normally, in my journey back home, when I took a Grab, it's about 15 to 20 minutes. But that day, it took us 40 to 45 minutes. Because when I share the gospel, I have my pacing. I know what to ask for. Roughly a certain time, I know the time is short. Coming to my home, I need to share the gospel. But this time now, I thought that I might just want to hear him out and let him share. Because he's the one who initiated to share. I didn't ask him anything. He just tell me that he got divorced. Wow, so open. Since you're so open, then let you share. And then ask him a few more questions about his first marriage, about his struggles, his failure. I'm not sure it's because he needs time to share. He drive me around a detour. But I think it seems the amount is same. I think it's okay. Like, as long as you take, I think we pay the same amount. So I let him share. You see, I'm willing to put down my agenda, my timing, because certain timing, I feel that you have to share the gospel because you've not wasted the conversation. But I think my heart is, I think, being reminded by God just to listen to him, simply listen. Because tonight our agenda is so strong that I need to, by certain time, I need to bring in my agenda of the gospel. So by listening to him, at the end, I asked him, can you give me a few minutes to tell you about my God? Then I share about the gospel to him. I think it's fine he did not receive Christ, but also at the end, we have a good conversation, just most of the time listening to him, asking him questions to share. It's not about your own plan, your own contingency. It's about what you are equipped with or where you are gifted at. Suddenly in our daily life, are we open to let the Lord lead us? Even this is not our plan, even this is not our pacing, are we willing to change accordingly? I think the team just nice rhythm, dancing in the rhythm of God. We've gone on Friday. So it's the rhythm of God that we have to follow instead of we follow our own pacing. Second point of application in our life calling. Sometimes do we need to be so secure in our own plan and saving before we step out of faith where God is leading us? And Jesus overhears his instructions, critique a life of overly prepared, especially for us Singaporeans. We need to be everything nice, sui, before we go out. Because we are so good a planner that we trust our plan more than God. Everything needs to come in place before I step out in faith. I think the key question is, am I relying more than my backpack or my sender? As much as we plan, sometimes God strips away all our false security so that we discover only Him alone is enough. Your extra set of clothing, sometimes in a way it shows that our need to be in control. We want to be in control in order to feel safe. But Jesus over here is asking us, are you willing to go even if your backpack is empty, to trust Him for His provision? So this is one of the vulnerability when the authority is given to us. Vulnerability to insecurity. But also, it opens us to another door of vulnerability. This is the vulnerability to rejection. And most of the time when we assume if we are given the authority, we assume that everything will run smoothly, everything will be successful. I think, but the scripture tells us otherwise. It tells us that people will not welcome you or listen to you. And how could this really happen? When God really blessed you and given you authority. I think the story of Jim Elliot tells us a lot. Jim Elliot is famous as a missionary to the South America. He reached out to a tribe called the Ucado, the Alka tribes, in the 1950s. So this tribe is famous for rejecting outsiders. They never have connection with the outside world. But this Jim Elliot and his four missionary friends, they prepared well. They learn their language, study their culture. They try to make peaceful contact by dropping gifts over the air with their small little plane. So everything seems that the God is opening doors for them. So after some time, they decided to land the plane somewhere near the tribe. They want to have the first contact with the people. So they went to them with smiling face, trying to welcome them, trying to be as much as possible friendly. But these tribal people did not welcome them, did not listen to them. And more importantly, they killed them. They murdered them. But the story did not end there. Jim Elliot, his wife, Elizabeth Elliot, and the four widows with the children did not leave the place. They carry on with what their husband started. They return, not by force, but with the love of Christ. And slowly they share the gospel to this outcast tribe. And at the end, the whole tribe came to know the gospel, came to know Christ. And even the man who murdered the husband repented, believed in gospel, in the gospel. I think in mission, when God gave us the authority, such authority also comes with vulnerability. The vulnerability to be rejected by people. And this rejection cost them life. Being sent does not guarantee that everything will turn out well. And having authority doesn't guarantee they will not be rejected by people. And the key question is to ask, how then should we handle rejection? How then should we handle rejection? I think first of all, over the verse here, we can learn a few lessons. As we serve the Lord, we have to anticipate rejection. Rejection is part and parcel of life. Whether you like it or not, it's part and parcel of life. There will be people rejecting you. I think other than that, the verse tells us that stay there until you leave. There are people rejecting you, but there are also people who receive you kindly. In a whole life, not the whole world will reject you. There will be people who receive us kindly. And third thing, over here, we can learn that we don't have to argue endlessly with anyone who we are rejecting God. Who are not ready for God. They are rejecting God, they are not rejecting you. And one more lesson we can learn is how do we handle rejection is to leave that place. And then don't let rejection immobilize your call. I think I have to be careful here when I use the word leave that place. Jesus is not telling us when we are hurt in the church, we leave it, this church, or leave that church. And this is not the context of the verse. The context of the verse is Jesus telling those who are sharing the gospel, if there are people resisting the gospel, don't have to force the gospel into them. So we have to be clear, it's not about whenever we face rejection, we just leave this and leave that place. This is not the teaching here. I think in the broader sense, I want to bring it out in the broader sense, general sense, if you want to serve the Lord, then we must expect rejection. Like it or not, I already mentioned, this is the lesson God, someone wants us to learn. But then I also want to agree, some rejections in a way cut very deeply in our heart. We find it very hard to get over. And we are stuck. And we're just not able to move forward. And this is quite true in life also. Do not let people's rejection in a way paralyze God's calling in your life. Learn to release it, to step forward and keep going. And the reason we can do that is not because we are emotionally strong, but rather rejection is real and we do feel painful. We do not want to deny rejection and naively say it's nothing by faith of God. I don't think it is the right way to do that. The reason we can move on and trust the Lord is because of the gospel. It is because of the gospel. In the end, because Christ himself bore all the rejection from the world. Even the closest relationship with him, Heavenly Father, the moment when he's on the cross, he asked God, why do you forsake me? For that moment, he was even rejected, quote-unquote, rejected by God himself. Let's read this verse together and may the Lord speak to our heart. 1, 2, 3. Jesus was rejected so that we would not be crushed when we are being refused by people. Likewise, we will not be inflated when people applaud for us. Because he was cast out, we are now free. We are free to serve without pride. We are free to move on without despair. Let's come before the Lord using this worship song. What a beautiful name it is. because the name of Jesus is being rejected. And we're able to bear his name in our life, a name being rejected by everyone on this world. And this name gives us a hope. No matter how rejected we are by people, people close to us, people hurt us, in all authority position, we will feel rejection in somehow or other. But let this not immobilize you. But instead, let this bring you to Christ.